anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. There's an anchor, my friend, that enters into the veil. There's an anchor. I remember one morning I got a call from Brother Bill Finley, and he said, "Brother, let's go fishing." And so we hooked up with Brother George Baldwin. And I don't know if you remember Brother George. And he had a fishing boat. He had a nice little bass boat and took us out on the lake. And when we got to that cove, you know, he knew where to fish. And I really enjoyed that. So we got there and we cast a little anchor there. You know, every boat needs to have an anchor. So I threw out that anchor on the end of that rope and kind of settled us in where we got to do some serious business on catching some fish. But it was getting late in the evening, and I remember Bill telling me, "Now, come on, we got to get out of here." And I kept casting. But he got kind of concerned. He says, "It's going to get dark on us." I said, "Well, I reckon you're right." I just kind of reeled it all in. We pulled the anchor. And I'll never forget how the darker it got, the more concerned Brother Bill got. And we were going through that. But one thing about old Brother George, he knew that lake like the back of his hand. And he was there just, he wasn't worried about a thing. And he made every corner and every turn. And it did get dark. It got so dark I couldn't even tell hardly where we were. But not George. He knew where we were until we got to the dock. We got to the ramp. We got to port. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we're not there yet. But there is a harvest, rather a haven. There is port, amen, and we'll have a port call after a while. There's some that's gone on before, but there's a place for you and for me that we're going to call home. But until that time, God wants us to stay busy being about the Father's business. And you know what that business is? He says, "I will make you fishers of men." Amen. So if you're in a place where God is working, keep casting. Cast the net. Cast the net. You'll never know that after a while. And in a season such as this, that God is going to bring about a harvest. God's going to bring about a harvest. And I believe in this hour, if we keep praying, if we keep trusting, and if we stay put in the work of God, anchored steadfastly in His work, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to hold to the anchor. And in order to do that, I believe that we really need to understand that amen, there's some things in this world that are changing, and they're changing very quickly. But we have to, as children of God, be anchored, and we have to stay consistent. Amen. And sometimes we have to become proactive and involve ourselves in ministry intentionally. You know, we can't just expect someone to just walk through the door if you don't know what's behind those doors. We have to be intentional about reaching and pulling and causing people to know that there's something better. There's something better. I tell you what, there are sometimes engagements that happen, circumstances that just happen by happenstance or accident, if you will. But I believe sometimes they lead to a pleasant surprise. Don't you love it when that happens? That certain things happen by accident, it seems, and they turn out good. They turn out good. I'm driving down the highway and I'll miss a turn. But then when I miss that turn, then I get on that exit ramp, I see that sign and it says Culver's. You ever had a Culver's sandwich? Are you going to have to try one? And every time that I'll find one, I'll say, "Well, that wasn't a mistake at all. I'm kind of glad I got off that exit." And things happen by accident. Did you know that his name was Alexander Fleming, and he had a little mold in the petri dish, But it turned out that he discovered penicillin because of it. That's an accident that turned out good. A fellow by the name of Percy Spencer, he walked in front of this object called a magnetron. And did you know what happened? He had a peanut butter and chocolate bar of candy in his pocket. And when he walked by, it melted. And you know what he discovered? The microwave. Kind of by accident. Did you know that there was a fellow by the name of George Demestral, and one day he was walking through the woods, and he come out through the woods, and he looked down like we all have, and he saw those burrs all over on his pants, and his pants leg, and he kind of got an idea, and he was the fella that invented Velcro. Now, aren't you glad that he invented Velcro? Some folks wouldn't know how to tie their shoes if it wasn't for Velcro. But let me tell you, some things happen by accident, but by and large, in the work of God, the work of God must be done intentionally. We can't wait for someone to stumble across the door, and although that has happened, but like Brother Gene was preaching, one time a fella had come in, I guess he stumbled in service, and came down the very first time. I think he was up in his 80s or 90s. And when he prayed through and he jumped up and he said, my, I wish someone would have told me it was this good from the beginning. I wouldn't have waited so long before I got saved. Let me tell you, when we become intentional about the work of God, we realize the encouragement of the scripture to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Listen, amen, it's good fishing right now. We've got to hold to the anchor. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that Jesus was intentional when it came to my salvation. Amen. When was the last time that God prompted you to speak to someone? When was the last time that the Spirit spoke to you and said, there's somebody that's needing to hear a word? I believe that we're in a season of harvest. You say, Brother David, it just doesn't feel like that. But brothers and sisters, all across this country, I'm seeing men and women whose hearts are failing them for fear, and they're looking, and they don't know what's going to happen. And across the horizon, my friends, they say things will never be normal again. But I'm telling you, there's an anchor that's steadfast and sure, and one that enters into that place we call behind the veil. There's a place, amen, where the veil's been riven. There's a place where you and I can go, amen, and believe and see God work. But we must be intentional about this. Did you know that Christ was intentional? When we think about the love of God towards us, we understand that God is no respecter of persons. Oh, to think where you were and where you were before you got saved. Before it, just think about where we were. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter how rich you are or poor you are or how educated that you are. We shouldn't withhold our love from someone based upon external appearances. Can you say amen? Because, amen, just think about when God reached down to where you were and where I were. When we got saved, we've got to love others sacrificially. If we talk about loving God with all of our heart and mind and soul, and then we forget about the second commandment, which is just as great. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Because the love of God that he loved us, we love him. And we love him because he loved us first. For while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. And we loved him. Not that we first loved him, but he first loved us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were lowly, when we were without God and not a part of the commonwealth of faith. He loved us that way, and it was a sacrificial love. Can you say amen? God's love that's so sacrificial. And we ought to love others the same because, you know, it cost him. It cost him everything. It cost him the life of his precious son. And it was sacrificial in nature. And so this is the highest price that he could have paid. But he paid it. He paid it. And so when we talk about being intentional about reaching others, it may cost some sacrifice. It may cost some expense. But my friend, it will be worth it. It's worth it. Amen. So keep sowing the seed. Keep working the field. Amen. And God, amen, will reward. But we must realize that now more than ever, it's time to hold. Hold to the anchor. Hold to the anchor. Let's do a little fishing. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to love others in a proactive way. You know that God's love wasn't an ivory tower kind of love. Amen. Where he was up in heaven and we on earth. But he sent in the fullness of time. God sent his only begotten son. And came into this world. Was born in a manger. We know the story. But do we understand the implication of God's purity, his love, and his intentionality when he reached down to fallen humanity? It wasn't in the ivory towers of heaven. No, but he left the safety of the harbor and came down to the fishing hole, if you will. He came down to earth, amen, to reach out. And I believe that God is going to do some things. God will do some things. How many of you believe that, friends, that we've got to hold on to the anchor? Hold on to the anchor, amen, and especially in these days and moments. There's a lot of ways that we can assist in the work of God. I really believe that every one of us have gifts and callings, and they're different in nature. And I talked just briefly this morning about the power of prayer and intercession and that calling. But I'm telling you, regardless of what there's a lot of folks, it takes a lot of helping hands in the work of God to do the work of the Lord. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, we read about the spiritual gifts. They're enumerated. We know that there's so many people that have these different, but in this 12th chapter, you'll find the word helps. That, you know, I know that there's a lot of folks that like to be the evangelist or the pastor, the apostle. But thank God for those that have the gift of helps. How many of you just want to be a help to someone along the way? Not just in the ministry of your church, but in general. Just to be a help to someone in need. And the Bible says here, as we read this in the text or the verse, it says helps. That meaning of the gifts of help. It's kind of obscure in the world that we live, particularly, but it means to relieve, to secure, to participate in, to support, just to be a help. Amen. God, help us to hold to the anchor. It takes many hands. Many hands to hold to the anchor. Many people to help in this work. Many people to help in this ministry. Many people to involve in the work of God within the church. You will be surprised, amen, at what it will mean to someone. I want to just touch on two or three things really quick on what it means to someone to be a help. To be a help to somebody who is in need. You'll never know what it meant. Amen. To the times that we've gone through, those difficult times. I remember when I lost my father, and we were in the middle of Share-a-thon, and the word came on the phone from my sister and said they found Dad this morning. And my heart was broken, but I'll not forget of my siblings. My brother in-laws and my wife, and before I left to head north, and everyone gathering around me up there in that radio station and beginning to pray and call out, and the tears began to flow. And I'll tell you what, it helped me. You'll never know what it will mean to someone when you help them, when you hold to the anchor, when you help them in the time of their need. We read in the Bible the story where Jesus came to Capernaum and he preached the word to them. But then there came to him, I'm telling you, there came to him men and women with needs, the paralytic that was carried by four men. We read in the scriptures where they brought this man who was borne by four friends, four people who got a hold of that gurney. And they brought this man before him, but they couldn't come near because of the crowd. So we read in the scriptures that they became more proactive to meet the situation. They had to involve and invest themselves. And as they did, we know they broke through the roof and they had somehow tied this man and his bed to ropes and let him down into the presence of our almighty Savior. And that's all that it took. That's all that it took. The healing came. Some folks are in need of a miracle today. Some folks are in need of a move of God today. But thank God, amen, that we can hold that rope. Hold that rope for those that are in need. And all we have to do, friend, we don't have to do the work. God will do the work. But if we become proactive and do something about getting them to the place where Jesus can touch them. I believe in that, don't you? I believe in that. Amen. When we get them to that place where Jesus can touch them, someone may say, well, I don't feel like much of a help. Well, neither did a fellow by the name of D.L. Moody. But in the Bible that he had, he wrote in Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse 8, we know that also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall go for me? Who shall I send? And then I said, here am I, Lord, send me. And you know what Moody wrote beside that verse? He said, I am only one, but I am one. And I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. And he made that commitment. And you know what? You know the rest of the story. Amen. That God brought about great ministry through one who said, I'm going to hold the rope. I'm going to hold the anchor. I'm just one. But I can do something. And if I can do something, I ought to. Hallelujah. Because some need a healing. Some need a deliverance. Some need a ministry. I am so thrilled whenever I see the great men and women of God that God has raised up in this church. Sister Huff, I get so thrilled. Wonderful. Wonderful men and women of God. And it just makes me feel just privileged to have been just for a short season a part of that. But I am so thankful. I'm so thankful. I don't mean to take a whole lot of time here, but let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God is going to raise up young men and women. And God is going to, and believe you, I know that there's 24 young men and women and young people with Brother Greg now at convention. Those are fun times. But how many times have I run across people that now that they're in the work of God and serving God and doing a great diligent ministry that God raised up? And God, it touched their lives. And right here in the church, there are so many that God had called and are using and active in the work of God. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some haven't put away concerning faith have been made shipwrecked. Now, I know that there are those that have been shipwrecked as well. I know that there's not every story is a good story. But I'm here to tell you, those that have held to the faith, those that have held to the anchor, those are the ones steadfast and sure and that are working for the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. God is still working. God is still moving. The Bible says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill the Apostle Paul. But the plot, it became known. And the scripture says that there were some of the disciples that got together and they put him in a basket, dropped him off the side of that wall, and let down that rope. I don't know who they were, do you? I don't know if anyone really would know the names of the four that held the rope that day or the other disciples that held the rope that day. But I do remember this. Yesterday afternoon, I was walking over in the Dyke Cemetery over here with a friend, and I come across a little corner as you go to see Brother Huff's, where he is resting. There is mortal remains. I know where Brother Huff's is tonight, by the way. And I know who he's fellowshipping with, because right along there, there was a little tombstone that said, Sophie Huff Sailor. And I remember many times. I think this was the only person I remember, Brother Huff. When she testified, she had something to say, and he knew it. And I seen him leave the pulpit and sit down on the front row until she got finished. And with that gnarled little hand, she'd lift that finger up, and she would tell what God was beginning to do. And I tell you what, there's been generations that have been affected by the ministry of a dear one. Let me tell you, you walk up the hill just a little bit, and there you see Wilbur and Eula. I always remember her telling me one day, Eula said, well, you know, we may be related too. And I believe it was her sister, Ada Gabbard, that married Russell Parker. And sure enough, you better watch who you gossip about, friend. Most of the folks around here are related. Let me tell you, I remember, and I walked through that cemetery, and I walked by where Pastor Gene is laying, and I thought, all the times, amen, that he held to the word of God, and he preached, and he was faithful and steadfast. And over the years, amen, and the years that preceded him, that the work of God that went forth, and people have been blessed over these years because God, amen, has found someone to hold the rope and hang on to that anchor. It's an anchor steadfast and sure. And it enters in, amen. You know where the other side of that anchor is? Inside the riven veil. Amen. It's steadfast and sure. Brothers and sisters, there's a work to be done, and we must hold. We must hold the anchor. We must be proactive. I want to close because God, I could go on with some things here, but I was touched by this. And I want to share this with you tonight. In the hopes of, if you're feeling tonight broken, if you're feeling tonight that things have happened in your life that have caused you to be walking in a place of brokenness, or if sometimes you have questions as to the way things may have turned out or could have turned out. But never doubt, friend, never doubt the effectiveness. God is not looking for a person who has just everything. Let me just share this with you, that the master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf, there were many. Well, which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one, for I'm shiny and bright. And I'm a great value, and I do things just right. and my beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, Master, gold would be best. Unheeding, the master passed on to the brass. For it was wide-mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. "Hear, hear," cried the vessel, I know I will do. Just place me on your table for all men to view. "Look at me," called the goblet of crystal so clear. "My transparency shows my contents so dear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride, and I'm sure I'll be happy your house to abide." The master came next to a vessel of wood, polished and carved. It solidly stood. "Well, you may use me, dear master," the wooden bowl said, "but I'd rather you used me for fruit and not for bread." But then the master looked down and he saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole and to fill and to use. "Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I will mend and use it and make it all mine. For I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor the one who is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, nor one who displays his content so proud, not the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthy vessel filled with my power and my might." Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay and mended and cleansed it and filled it that day. Spoke to it kindly. "There's a work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour out to you." Oh my, I got a communication today from a grade school, elementary school buddy, and some of us that were in Hamilton there went all through school together in first grade. I remember some of these folks, but I do remember one young man that came to Lincoln Elementary School. Daryl had mentioned to me that there was a program today. And the program was this, what was his name? Wallace. What's his? Chris Wallace, that had a program and said that they named a young fellow one of the power players of America. It's interesting. It was very interesting to me because I remember when I was in elementary school, and a young Filipino man, a young guy came to our school, and his name was Gil Cabacungan. And I remember I couldn't pronounce his name, and it'd make him mad. And his name was, I said, "Well, is it Guillermo. My name is Guillermo Cabacungan III, and you had to put the third or he'd get mad. He'd actually cried, but don't tell anyone. Are we on the internet? Uh-oh. But Gil went. We went through school, and Gil ended up going to West Point, and he ended up going into the Army, and he commanded a armored division in Desert Storm and won the Bronze Star. But then later on in life, got married and had a son. And some of you may recognize his son. And I really did. I did not know this was Gil's son, but his name is Alec. And you'll see him on he's the face of Shriners. And have you ever seen the young guy, the little dark-haired, black-haired guy sitting in the wheelchair? I don't know if you've ever seen a commercial, and some of you may not, and it may not mean... But let me tell you, little Alec. He's the face of the Shriners and all of the various commercials and stuff that they have on the Shriners. The little guy, the little black guy, cute little guy, cute as a button. And his name is Alec, and they talk about Alec, and oh, a tearjerker, I tell you. But Alec was born with a condition where his bones are so brittle, and he's probably been broken, and his brittle so broken. And I found out just this afternoon that the face of the Shriners was Alec Kabakungan. And found out, I said, well, that's Gil's boy, okay? And he's probably raised multi-millions of dollars for Shriners. And I couldn't help but think that how that God can use something that's broken. God can use, and here's a young man, and I tell you what, whose body has been broken time and time again. I can tell you how painful the pain that he has experienced. But over the years, I had no idea. But he has raised millions of dollars to help others that have been broken. I just wanted to put that in there, that little testimony about what I found out, what this fella told me this afternoon. Old Gil and his son, he did pretty good, didn't he? But there are some folks that are broken. They are broken, but that does not mean that God cannot use you. You may feel that you're broken. You may feel that you're hurting. You may feel that along the way that there has been bits and pieces knocked off of you, that your ministry, you had felt that God had for you, that somehow it's not been brought to fruition the way that you thought. But let me tell you, God chooses to use the broken. God chooses to use the poor. God chooses to use those that are hurting and brings glory to his name. So keep holding the rope. Stay faithful in this call. Amen. Find your place as a help in the kingdom of God. For little is much when God is in it. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this awesome church. I thank you for this awesome pastor and family. And I thank you, oh God, for this awesome congregation, these that are yours. And I pray that God, that this night, that God, that we in our hearts and our spirits, we become aware, more keenly and acutely aware, oh Father, of the needs that are around us, and realize that in order to do the work, that we have to first hold on, hold steadfastly to your anchor, oh God, that holds within the veil, and that we've got to keep on reaching. So God, help us tonight to use one hand to hold to the anchor and the other to reach out to our brother, to reach out to our sister, to reach out to the lost. God, may we hold in one hand the anchor, steadfast and sure, that enters in to the Holy of Holies, and may we extend the other to those that are in need. God, in this hour of great need, God, send us those that can be touched and those that can't make it here, send us to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.